What's up, guys? It is Rick Ginn, and you are on the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. And today we have a fun topic. We're talking about the shocking secret to finding great wholesale deals. Nothing crazy I'm going to tell you. Actually, I'm just going to tell you the truth on how to do it. I'm going to tell you how I do it. I'm going to tell you how I do it with my son and my business. And I'm even going to go back to the days when I first started. And you are going to see a resounding message that says you just have to be extremely consistent in your efforts. And so many people think that there's this magic formula to wholesaling. And there are some, I'm not going to call them tricks to the trade. Here's the trick, is you actually have to do the business. There is no shortcut to this. If you think you can do novations, or you can do this technique, or you can go get a power of attorney and you don't have to do wholesaling anymore, you're dead wrong. Actually, you need to dive in and learn how to do wholesaling correctly. And you are in one of the neatest markets I think we've seen in a long time. For the last, in my opinion, the last 7 years, the wholesaling market has just been wildly skewed. And people have made money that had no business making money in wholesaling. And the minute it gets tough, they come out with a video and go, this is why I don't wholesale anymore. It's so tough. They have no idea what tough is. So when you've done this business for 20 years plus, I will give you credentials of tough. But please don't tell me you got started today and you think it's really tough, or you're comparing it to the last 7 years and now you think it's tough. That was an anomaly, and I don't believe we're ever going to see stuff like that for quite a while. So without further ado, you are on the Rick Ginn YouTube channel. You have two ways to communicate with me. It's real simple. You have the comment section in there. If you have a question, put it in there. Odds are I'm most likely going to answer it. And that is a great way for you guys to announce which market you're in, announce what problems you're having. And it's a great way to network with like-minded people. If you love wholesaling, I do. I've been doing this 21 plus years. This is a great place to connect and meet up with people. Now, I don't speak for everyone, but for the most part, most people have the right intentions. Anybody who DMs you or stuff like that, especially asks you for crypto, get rid of them as fast as you can because they're most likely a scam artist. The other way is you can connect on there with a mastermind link. You'll see it on the comment section under Rick Ginn. There's a link there. You can click that. I don't put any filters on there. Please only use one link per person because I can't. If you put on four of them, it's not fair to everybody else because we only have so many people in there. And I'm looking to help people that have deals they want to work on. They want to get started in wholesaling or whatnot, have you. This is the best way to do it. I don't charge you for it. It's 100% free. I don't require you to show your face or do anything like that, but I do like to see people and I prefer to see people's faces so I know who I'm talking to. And it just helps me to get to know you a little bit better. So you got the comment section. You've got the one-on-one masterminds. Click on there. What I'm going to do is take today and we're going to go over basically kind of the secret to getting great wholesaling deals. And I think I'm pretty much an expert. I can explain to you going on my 21st year of doing this is it's not a secret at all. It's actually, if you are trying to buy into people's secrets, stop doing it. That is probably your number one problem to start off with it. But what I'm going to do is take the first part of the live and I'm going to walk through this. So I have, I get bullet point screen shares. We can go from there. And then we'll talk to each other through the comments in the beginning. And then what I'll do is jump on the one-on-one on the masterminds and we will go through it. So give me a shout out, guys. Let me know which market you're from. And then let me dive into us. And then I promise you, we will jump on. Because my favorite part is to do like the live Q&As and definitely the one-on-ones for the people that actually want actually real help on it. Remember, I cannot wholesale houses for you. I can only help advise you and tell you how I do it. And I believe firmly that you need to be led by people that actually do the business as opposed to people that are just going to preach to you. And God knows we got enough of those. So let's get into it without further ado. First of all, if you are new to myself, my name is Rick Ginn. I've been doing wholesaling for 21 years plus, and we have a free course, absolutely 100% free. Me and my son have put together. It should be somewhere on your screen right below here, freewholesaling.com. We've put out all the content for 3 years plus on here. Yes, I said 3 years plus because I will never change the content and I keep adding to it. And we find all the latest ways. We've actually added our AI in there. And so we're constantly expanding this. And my goal with it, it's like, why does Rick do this? This is crazy. Honestly, I think it's ridiculous that you guys should have a barrier to get into wholesaling. And if it's just money, if you're willing to put in the sweat equity and the hard work and actually take the action to this, I will not only show you how to get you your first wholesale deal, I will show you how to get to your first 100K. Don't believe me? Give it a shot. I have thousands and tens of thousands of testimonials of people I've never asked for. And they said, listen, this stuff works. Here's the difference though. If 100 people take my course, 5 to 10 will take an incredible amount of action and they will dominate everybody else. The other 90% will quit because they actually have to do some work. So instead of me charging you, I found a way where we can just go around the other way and find the ones that are truly motivated. I believe it's a win-win. This wholesaling business has way too high of a failure ratio. Part of it is the gurus and the courses and the message you guys are get. But a big part of it is you just have to take the action. And this is the part that's mostly missing in people's wholesaling agendas. And I want to fix that. So start out, go over to freewholesaling.com. It's right here. 100% free. Just dive in there. And I'm not going to smack you over the head with anything. Honestly, I'm looking. So people say, hey, why would you do this? Number one, I'm looking to build a legacy to teach as many people as wholesaling as humanly possibly. Why? Because that gives me a unlimited amount of deals I can do with you guys. We have a JV partnership. I'll share with you a little bit later in this program. And the more proficient I make you in wholesaling, just the better I look to you. That is the truth. And that's what I'm trying to do it. Because I actually make my money on wholesaling and doing real estate as opposed to other people who just sell courses, trying to get you in their latest funnels. And then they go hire the coach of the coaches to teach you how to coach with 6 months experience. Guys, you don't need any more of that. The market's buried in it. And I rather flip real estate than flip students. So this is how we came up with this. So make sure you go there and make sure you comment your questions. And for God's sakes, make sure you smash that like button. If you get value from this video, this live stream, yes, it's live stream. I promise you it's live. I'm not going to hold a newspaper up here, but it's live. And then make sure you subscribe to this channel. It makes a tremendous difference on who sees the material. I want to help people out that that are struggling through their wholesaling journey, or let's face it, if you're new to this business, hold on. If you are new to this business, you are a huge mark for the gurus. They're coming after you. And I'm not here to protect you. I'm just here to show you that you can do this. It's always up to you. You have to take the action. So many people, well, if I take a course, it'll be faster. It won't. You actually have to do the work, and no guru is going to do that for you. So without further ado, let's jump into it. So we're talking about the secret to finding great, big, fat wholesaling deals. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to get interesting on this. So let me see here. I want to put this in order on it. So the first thing, we are going to walk through some of the mechanics of doing this. So what you've got to understand is for you to become truly good at wholesaling, you have to be a list ninja. What do I mean by that? You got to be really proficient in pulling lists. The better you get at pulling lists, the better your success is going to be. Remember, I don't care how amazing your marketing ability is. If you were sticking $100 bills in the mail and said, just call me and you can have this $100 bill and I'll mail it back to you, whatever. If you don't have the right list, it's never going to work. So first and foremost, you have to be a list ninja. How do you become a list ninja? It's simple, guys. Go after the right list. Let's talk about the first lists you need to go actually out there and do. So the easiest ones is we're looking for the highest motivation. And guys, these are where I get my biggest deals from, hands down. The best way is just go over to the courthouse. I don't even care if you can go online, go to the courthouse and figure out how to pull these lists. So the one list I put on here, because it's such a no-brainer, is pull the foreclosure list. Catch them sooner than later. the earlier you can work with them, the better shot you got. But mostly, whoever forms a relationship with the seller that's in distress is going to have the highest probability of getting the deal. So foreclosures are the easiest. I didn't put it up here, but the reality is they are the easiest list to get because it is a public lawsuit and they can't really hide it. So there's no way to hide it. You should have zero resistance getting this list, guys. You've got to understand that. The next list I want you to get at the courthouse are evictions. Rick, you know, they're tired landlords. Most of them are difficult to sell. Yeah, but every now and then there's a landlord. We're looking for landlords that never, they thought it was really sexy to be a landlord. Oh my God, the tenants pay off with the cash flow and then I get a clear and free house. But they don't understand you actually have to manage the property and the tenants. And when tenants trash it or they stop paying and they get a bad court case, most of those people are looking to get rid of the property as soon as possible. So if you consistently market to these types of people, amazing things will happen. So you have to do it consistently. Once again, the evictions list is very public because it's technically a lawsuit. And a lawsuit has to be very public. The ones most of you that struggle with and you try to avoid at all costs, it sounds super sexy in nature, they're called probates. And I'm going to tell you, if you want the biggest, fattest wholesale deal you ever want in your life, I guarantee you it's inside the probates. I've done multiple six-figure deals off tiny little single-family homes from probates. My greatest creative financing deal ever was from a probate. My greatest wholesale spread was from a probate. My greatest wholesale spread was from a probate. Guys, it doesn't matter. It could be a fix and flip. I don't recommend doing those, but I'm telling you, wholesales hold the most profit potential of all deals because they are the most problematic deals. They are some of the hardest lists to get with. Sometimes you got to deal with lawyers. You got to deal with realtors. You got to deal with emotional family people for obvious reasons. But if you can help people out and get them through it and navigate them through a wholesale probate deal, you get rewarded the highest. Now, why most wholesalers don't like to do these is number one, they're scared to death of them. I was horrified of doing a probate deal. Honestly, I thought it would be like, you're one of those types of people. You ever hear that? You're one of those. So they used to call lawyers ambulance chasers. Used to call probate wholesalers like grave robbers. And I actually used to get offended when I first do it. And I saw how silly and stupid I was thinking that way. I'm just trying to help people out. Do people chew me out? Every day. But I just want to find that one person that truly wants to sell the house. Why are probate deals so good? Think about this. The houses are run down. You're taking care of people at their end of life, and the focus should be on the human being, not the property. And typically, these properties are very outdated, and they're usually in another state or another market. Meaning, grandma lived in Florida, the parents lived in Ohio. I'm sorry, their kids lived in Ohio. She passed away, and it's a lot of work going back and forth. Some of these properties have mortgages, they all have utilities, they have insurance payments, tax payments, and for that reason alone is why people are pretty highly motivated to get rid of a probate deal. So hands down, if the only thing you get out of this is you've got to do probates. So that being that, let's talk about more about list. You've got to go to your county and city office. And what can I pull from there? My favorite list, hands down, and this is my second highest income producing list, is code violations. Think about this. Code violations is simply when you don't follow the city's policy on how you're supposed to care for your house. High grass, boarded up windows, mold all over the house, blue tarp over the roof. If you don't eventually fix it, either the city drives by and shames you, or you have a Karen in your neighborhood that calls every day about your property and you get a violation. If you don't correct the violation within 30 days, you start to get fines levied. They record it against the property. And the clock can be like $50 to $100 a day, and it gets wildly expensive. So if you get in that situation, those people usually need help. Listen, guys, people don't let their properties go in arrears for like no reason at all. You have to understand why they're doing it. So once they do that, if you understand it, you can reach out. You can help these people. It's super easy. Along the city and county list, your water shutoffs, make sure it's a public utility company, guys. These lists are highly motivated. Now, this list we only picked up within the last 10 years and learned how to do. It's not the easiest list to get a hold of. It's 50-50 at best. But if you're willing to do what other wholesalers won't do and actually work and get these earned lists, you can get a much higher result than what these people are going to do. So the water shutoff's huge. And then along that on the city county level is your fire damage properties. And I love fire damage properties because a lot of people don't know what to do with them. They're scared with them. Realtors run from them like the plague, but good quality cash buyer investors that know how to deal with fire damage properties, they'll buy them all day long because they're buying value, and value is what we provide as wholesalers. And why not go ahead and do this list? I love them because most fires are a lot, they're just extremely minor. Kitchen fires, bath fires, stuff like that. And it's not that big of a deal to fix up a room or something like that. Even the ones burnt all the way down, you can go all the way down to the land value on it. And all these types of lists, you either get from your county or your city offices. They're usually going to be in where your DMV is, the property appraiser's offices, or the building permits, what are they called? Applications and permits offices. At least that's the way it's set up in my area. So I'm going to go from this. So you've got to understand this. When I talk about lists, we're talking about List Ninja, the harder the list, the better for you. End of story. Listen, the harder it is to get something, it means you're going to have less competition doing it. The easier the list is, the more competition you're going to get for it. If you understand that functionality and that main differentiator, you'll understand why. And stop worrying if the list is free or not. If you can go to a county courthouse or a city municipality and pull the list, don't worry if about it's free, because you wish you actually had to pay for it, because it would probably be easier what these people are going to put you through. Remember, the harder the list, the better. And you've got to understand that. One of the other techniques that a lot of people overlook is just simply going out and just driving for dollars. And you know what? You guys think, oh, no, that's only for the brand newbies. I don't do that anymore. Dude, I've been in this business 20 plus years. Driving for dollars is an instrumental part of what we do. Why? Because if I can look at a property and see distress, I'm so much quicker to getting a deal than just pulling it from a list. Remember, when you're pulling a list, you're just pulling data and criteria to see if there's going to be a little bit of smoke. When I look at a property, not only do I see smoke, I see fire. I just got to connect with that seller and see if I can help them solve their problem. I know there's a problem. I just got to help them solve it. And that's our job. We are basically guides to help people out, to help solve a problem. You will never make someone sell you their house. You can try. God knows I tried. It doesn't matter. You have to deal with motivated sellers that want to talk to someone to help them fix their problem. And I cannot have the same conversation a realtor does. Realtors are looking to put perfect houses on the market and get tippy top dollar. I don't do that. I don't want to be a realtor. So driving for dollars is actually one of my favorite ways still to get it. And wherever we used to be short on leads, we'd send every employee in a car and do driving for dollars and come up with a minimum of 500 to 800 leads just in an afternoon. So if we can do that, you could probably easily go out and get 100 yourself. And guys, it is one of the fastest ways to get your fattest checks out there, because not only do you see fire, you see smoke, but you see fire. And that's why I love them so much. Another one that we often overlook is this simple method called reverse wholesaling. So if you never heard of this, go on my channel and just type in reverse wholesaling, or go over to Flip with Rick and you'll see reverse wholesaling. This is a method that we coined it early in the 2000s. I didn't invent it. I'd like to tell you I did, but I didn't. And all it says is we go out and concentrate on the buyer first. And you are in that type of market. I've been telling you to do this for the last year anyways. But the more intel you get from your cash buyers, the more you know what they'll pay for a property. You got to see, for the last 7 years, we've all been guessing because we didn't have to do this part. So now we're just reversing the order. Everyone always said, oh, go get a good, robust cash buyers list. But the reality is you have to do it now. You don't have a choice. Because if you don't know what cash buyers are willing to pay, you're going to write really bad contracts and you're going to get frustrated quick. So reverse wholesaling is simply as you put the cash buyer first, you spend time, you gather intel, you actually talk to them, you vet them, make sure they're not wholesalers. That is the key to it. And then once you do that, you can go to your motivated sellers and you can find price points that work. And here's the really cool part. If a deal's close and it doesn't quite work, before you even write the contract, you can go back to your cash buyer, which you now have a real relationship with, a business relationship, not a personal one. And you can find out, listen, I know you'd only spend $150. If you can do $155, I think I can deliver you a property in that area by the end of today. Is that something you're willing to do? Okay, if you could do it today. Then you go back to your seller and go, listen, if you could just take $145 instead of $150, I can probably do the deal right now. And by doing that, if you get both sides to give or even just one, you just made a $5,000 or $10,000 profit. It's reverse wholesaling. It just means you put the cart before the horse. You focus on your cash buyers of exactly what they want. And then you strategically home in on all your marketing for that area. And one of the best techniques that work for this is reverse driving for dollars, because you can use sticky notes. You can pick the exact neighborhoods or sub-cities, and you can target them very specifically. The reason I like reverse driving for dollars, because it has a high, high response rate and it works really, really well. Now, the other part I like about reverse wholesaling, I know there's a lot of information I'm hitting you with, is it works really good in whenever you do a new virtual market. Why? Because you don't really know the market and you're trying to understand it. And that can be frustrating. I know our company's been through that so many times. Every time we go to a new market, we understand there is a 3-month learning curve. What better way to embrace the 3-month learning curve than doing the reverse wholesaling strategy? And guys, it doesn't mean you don't have to lock up any deals. You lock up really good deals, and the ones that are on the cuff, you leave that open-ended area so you can get that last negotiation on both parties. And if you can get both or just one, it is a home run for you, because you would have never done that deal before. And you don't screw up your inspection dates, and you can actually get time. And if it takes you 3 to 5 days to negotiate that reverse wholesaling, I'd rather you do that than write a 1-week inspection, 2-week inspection, where you actually still have time in case that buyer were to fall through. And so many of you guys do it like the reverse way. It drives me crazy. And the other one is, if you're doing land deals, reverse wholesaling is the only way to do land deals, in my opinion, because how much is somebody willing to pay for a piece of land? I don't know. You know who knows? Your cash buyers all know. And so you got to get with them. Once you know what a cash buyer is specifically for land will pay, it's really easy. You just got to find motivated sellers within that area. And the really cool part about land is a lot of sellers, they only fixate on what they bought it for, because they haven't had time to research on what the market is selling for. And honestly, land deals can be easier. But they can be lower in profit, but they go much, much faster. You don't have inspections. You don't have tenants to deal with. And you don't have to worry about dragging your cash buyer through it. That's why land deals work really well. Reverse wholesaling has always been around for land deals, because if you don't know what your cash buyer is going to pay for it, you can't buy it. And that's the frustrating part about it. So make sure you understand that. So let's run through. We've talked about all the real fat deals on it. So let's break down the kind of mentality it takes to get the best wholesaling deals. And as I said, I don't really believe in secrets. I believe one of the biggest killers is people's lack of marketing. And you really have got the fight to do the marketing. And what do I mean by that is, just like you have to be a list ninja, you have to be a marketing maniac. I should really coin that phrase, marketing maniac. You got to be incessive about like just getting your message out there. Remember, if you don't have the right list, it means you don't have the right roadmap to get there. So lists are vitally important, but the marketing aspect of wholesaling is you got to go out and you've got to fight every day for it. So let me walk through. What did I miss here? I missed. We're talking about the mindset. Also, a lot of problems we have is just accountability. So your lack of wholesaling success is going to stem from the accountability and what you hold yourself to. And I want you to keep this in mind. If you can't be honest and accountable with yourself, why would you do it with anybody else? Honestly, the hardest person to break a promise with is yourself, because it hurts the most and you can't avoid yourself. And you got to understand that the same holds true in wholesaling. You got to be brutally honest with yourself. You're either going to thrive or you're going to die in this business. And you only lose when you quit. And I know nobody on this live stream is going to have that way of doing it. So let's talk about the last one I'm going to talk about is, I know you've heard me say this before, but we talk about an upward spiral. So if you don't know what an upward spiral is, you know what a downward spiral is. And God knows we've all done it occasionally. Like one bad thing happens in your life, and then all of a sudden you just like, you know, people always say, oh, bad things always happen in threes. There is no statistical data for that other than maybe in Vegas. It's absolutely insane when people say that. Think about this for a second. Only bad things always happen in three. And I'm just kind of laughing when I hear stuff like this. It's just like, oh my God, that is so ridiculous. So I want you to understand this, is if bad things can happen in three, why can't good things happen in three? The reality is, if you spiral upwards or downwards, a downward spiral is when bad things start happening and like you just, one bad habit starts bleeding into another and before you're at rock bottom. Now, the opposite can happen, an upward spiral. How? You start taking actionable steps to find great deals in wholesaling. Say you do probate, you went to the courthouse, did exactly what I tell you to do. You actually have to go and do it. I can't do it for you. Zach can't do it for you. And you actually pull these lists and you mail them a letter or you call them, whatever, and somebody reaches out and contacts you. Now, I've had this happen in my life, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was not a believer when I first did wholesaling, if I'm going to be brutally honest. I was just like, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I did give it a shot. I had to take the action. And I remember pulling the list. I remember somebody reaching out and calling me. I'm just like, so I went through, I qualified them. I remember hanging up going, oh my God, I think they really want to sell me the house for the discount. So I went to the appointment, scared, said everything wrong. I still got a great deal. And I walked away with like $32,000 3 weeks later. I'm thinking, this is amazing. I didn't even want to get too excited about it. Long story short, here I am 21 years later. So much happened in my life. I can buy multi-million-dollar properties. I can come and go wherever I want. And if I didn't start out by taking that basic belief in myself and take that action, it has been nothing but an upward spiral. Have I had stuff spun backwards? Yeah. But it's like one or two things, and then I get five more things that take me to the top on it. And I'm here to tell you the upward spiral is, if you make it a permanent part of your mindset, amazing things will happen in your life. And I'm telling you, it is really cool. But so many people are so stuck on the downward spiral, and I don't understand it. If anything can spiral downwards, it means it can go up just the same. And honestly, I believe you have more impact to do an upward spiral as opposed to a downward spiral. And if you understand the mindset of the power to do that, then that is going to be the best way to absolutely do it. So let me see here. I'm checking the messages. It was okay. So let's go through the comments and then we're going to go through live questions. If you guys want to jump on the live, now is the time to do it. I got a few spots left here. And I will take you on a first come, first serve basis. And I am checking out the comments. What's up, Anthony, Kiefer, Tony, Candy. Candy's over in the California market. So we'll talk to her. no novation without taxation. You guys hear me talk about novations. I remember when novations first came out and I was like, oh, this is the greatest. This is wholesaling 2.0. I'm like, yeah, I go, man, it's wholesaling 2.0. If you like lawsuits and you like people suing you, go for it. You're going to take some money now, but I promise you're going to give a lot of it back. I just trying to sell a property with no ownership, no real estate license, and no skin in the game at all, and then take a $50,000 or $100,000 profit? Let me know how that works out. Terrible, terrible idea. So, okay. So let's jump into this. What else? I had another question on here I want to answer. Awesome. So I love that you guys put in your markets here and definitely connect. So I love reading the areas. Victorville, I never heard of that one. That's awesome. What's up, Joseph? I'm just going through this. What's up, Patrick? Patrick, you most certainly can ask a question. Just put it in the comment section or jump on the live. So let's do this. Let's jump on some lives and we'll take that. If you guys want to know how to do the lives, if you look about, just look under a Rick in comment and you'll see the StreamYard. And I think there is a way to peg that to the top, but no, I can't do that. Okay. So some of the questions are a little bit long. So if you have a longer question, jump on the live and we'll go from there. Candy, you there?
Hi, Dre. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, good. I'm getting ready for dinner shortly, but how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
What can I do for you?
Yes, I've been pulling my listings and I'm working in code violation listing.
Okay.
And I, with a surprise, that I have a lot of lands information, empty lots. So I was starting calling them, and yesterday I got a seller. They caught me in a lie because I was thinking it was a home, and I was like, well, I was driving to, and I saw your property, and I was like, what can you tell me about your property? Mm-hmm. And I was like, and she told me, she said, oh, it's a land, empty lot. I was like, oh my God, she caught me. And because I was thinking it's a housing, you know, because, you know, all the listing is like, I was thinking, oh, it's a house.
Okay.
Anyway, so I started talking to her and she gave me the price and everything. But honestly, I wanted because I want to just focus on family resident, family homes. So now the land is something new for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to approach. I saw yesterday because at 20 feet, you talk about the on the challenge. You talk about about the land, how to buy land.
So,
but honestly, I got lost.
Okay, so land is no big deal. So don't panic. And honestly, you didn't lie to them. Land can be considered a piece of property, how mm-hmm. people view it. So don't like worry about that. And whatever, to me, it'd be a common error anyway. So, mm-hmm. First of all, if you ever, some people just don't want to do land and I respect that. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I would never be concerned about it because you can still make money off of land. All land is a piece of land without a physical piece of property on it. That's it. So okay. You eliminate the biggest headache, in my opinion. Now you typically don't make as much money. That's the downside of it. But if you don't want to deal with land, sometimes you have areas where there's large code violations on like landowners, depending on what part of the country you're in. So you can actually sort your lists and it should identify, some do it by parcels, but like sometimes you can see if it has SFR on there or vacant land, just mm-hmm. see if there's any coding under the code violations, if you want to separate that. But I've never separated because I don't care. Okay. There is a few markets I have to separate it because it's like predominantly vacant land. Okay. So if it's just one here and there, I wouldn't change how you do it. As far as attacking the land, it's simple. Do you know what the hardest part is on doing a land deal?
Find the assessment information.
Trying to figure out what the dang thing's worth. They're very hard to comp.
the comps. I know.
Because it's just a piece of land. So the best way to do it is you have to find cash buyers looking to buy land in that area and see what their price ranges are. And that's the only way to do it. I never do land unless I have a buyer set up for it. It's just because there's no comping tools for land. They're incredibly inaccurate. And people looking to buy land in those areas, they kind of know the comps and they are the comp. There is no price estimating tool. You can look at the tax assessed value. It's a good starting point, but sometimes that's even wrong. So land, I make like wildly low offers because I have no idea. So however you price a land is, if the land's worth 30 grand and you find out that's what buyers will pay for in that area, I offer 10. It's not because I think I'm going to get it for 10. It's just got to be a low number to like try to make it work because nobody knows what land's worth until you know what a cash buyer is going to pay for it. And that's it. And some people only value their land on what they paid for it. So an example, say someone's paying 30 grand for land in that area. They bought it for 3 grand 10 years ago. And say you can get them 15 or 20. That might make them excited. And here's the really cool part is there's no drawn out like inspection periods. There's no long mortgage and underwriting processes. You don't have to worry about dragging your cash buyer through it. You just got to find out if the seller's willing to let it go for a price below what you can get a cash buyer and do not complicate it. The other incredible thing I love about land is there's rarely an emotional attachment to it. They didn't raise their kids there. It's pretty straightforward. And I kind of like land because you can kind of just take a shot over the bow. And if they don't even want to work with you, you just move on. It's no big deal. Whereas when you deal with physical properties, you got to get down to the repairs. What's this? They always sound like a good deal until you find out what the repairs are and the condition of the house and like the liens on the house. When it comes to land, the one thing you focus on is just hunt for cash buyers in that area and see what they'll pay for it and offer accordingly. And I simply offer half whatever my cash buyer is paying for it. Because if they wanted 30 and I offer 10 or 15 and they come back and say yes, or they say, would you take 20 or 25? Why not? I just made a deal out of thin air. I didn't even have to work that hard. And you never have to get in your car. You don't inspect the land and you can give it to your title company just like a regular closing. It's really that simple.
But how you get to that number though?
I just told you. You've got to go out and find cash buyers in that area looking to buy land. And then you can look up some of the historical land purchases in that area. But it really comes down to what cash buyers are willing to pay for it.
And I think it's in good location because this one is a commercial back end. And in across the street has like a lot of like department, like multifamily. So could be nice, you know, if the people or the cash buyer want to build them.
Yeah, it doesn't even really matter the order you want it, but if you want to get serious about, so what I like to do, the first piece of land is always the most brutal hardest, just like a regular home. Once you find someone willing to pay for it, then I used to go door to door in neighborhoods to find additional pieces of land. And that's how I did. I always thought land, I treated it just like you did. I'm like, I have no idea how to do this, who would want it. And I said, if you give me the land, I'll take it. That's how I first did land. And usually they have a lot next door, like 3 or 4 lots. So like, would you give me an extra 10 grand and you have all the lots? I'm like, and then I started to learn how to subdivide lots, how to do all this stuff. I was like, wow, there's real numbers in these. So, but remember, they still have to be motivated to sell it. So I just reach out to them and say, hey, listen, you got a number of mine. You're looking to sell this land. Just ask. And some people are like, no, no, I'm holding on to the next 10 years. There's nothing you can say to them. Others are like, well, make me an offer. I go, I tell you, let me do a little research and I'll reach you back. Do you have a number in mind? And just keep pushing them for a number, knowing it's usually not the right number. And then go out and find a cash buyer and see what they'll pay for it. And then if they go, well, I'll take 20, 25 and you got a buyer to pay 30, 35, you can definitely make those deals work all day long. The problem is when they want 100, and a cash buyer will not pay more than 20, 25. I'm not even going to go down that road. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, that is a problem because unfortunately it's California.
I know. But remember, there's always buyers out there. There's always buyers out there and you have no idea what they'll pay for the property.
Okay.
So try to get the seller to go, listen, what would you need to do to get rid of this land? Like, I use very subconscious words, not like, you know, what's the most you'd take for it or something like that. What do you need to get rid of this land?
What you need.
But they got to be motivated. Some people are just, there's a lot of land banking going on in this country. But guys, land is, it's relatively easy. It's lower profits and you got to chase it all over the country. But like in parts of California, Florida, New York, you know, it's hard to even find a vacant piece of land anymore.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I used to laugh about buying lots.
Mm-hmm.
I owned a handful of lots. I mean, not like 10 or 12 lots for $3,000 for like 10 years. I've sold them as times go on and they finally sold for $30,000-$40,000, but you had to land bank them. I mean, they didn't have a price movement for 22 years.
Wow.
That's a long time. That's a really long time. And that's the problem with land is, sometimes it just goes flat forever and people go, I don't want to pay the taxes anymore. Or, you know, that dream to build the house didn't work out. Or I was going to build my commercial business on there and it didn't work out. It's very expensive with planning and zoning with these vacant piece of lands.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just go, listen, it just didn't work out. You know, what's the most you can get me for this lot? And once again, it all comes down to what a cash buyer will pay for it. That's the hardest part. If you can figure that out, you can structure an offer and see if it makes sense. But once again, if they're not motivated and they want like the price is right price, don't waste your time doing that. They need a realtor for that. But more vacant land is sold through regular people like you and me than it's ever going to go through realtors. Realtors are not good with vacant land at all, by the way. They don't know how to price it. They don't understand it and they don't know how to market it. And being in wholesaling, you learn how to market and all you got to do is find the right people. And it's not that hard to find them.
So
give it a shot. See what happens.
The owner is a real estate agent.
Oh, Lord. Didn't tell me that.
That's why I was like, oh, my God. But I need to call him back because, you know, it's my word. I say, I call you tomorrow with some information. Let me talk to my partner. So I'm just going to call him back and talk to him. But, so
that's what happened. That's fine, Kenny. So just... reach out to it and give it a shot. Just don't spend a lot of energy on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan when they're a real estate agent or like a broker. They're usually a pain in the butt. It's just the truth. Yeah. But I bought them from them, I've been through thousands of them just to get the, like the few that they like a handful. And I mean a handful, like five or six, because they're always very difficult. But don't let them make your life difficult. If you can find a cash buyer and you can find a spread in there, just go for it.
Yeah, just because I give him my word that I call him today. But in reality, I want to focus, like I say, in family homes. So this listing I have, I don't know if I can, I have a lot of lands. I don't know if somebody want the lands information. I give it to them. If somebody is working in lands, I don't have a problem and give them this, pass this land listing to them.
Well, it's up to you. There's plenty of people you can help out with here, but like, listen, guys, a phone call won't kill you to make like these things to see if it'll work. It's 5 minutes of your time.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you how many I used to say when I started, I really don't want to make that phone call. I'm like, and then I wind up making like a ton of money and I'm like, oh my God, I'm glad I made that phone call.
It worked, huh? Okay.
Yeah. So it's up to you. Like, listen, you only have a shot to win if you take a shot. So like Michael Jordan, if you don't take the shot, you're done. So
you never know.
Decide to take the shot and just keep moving along. And then like now you know how to deal with land when it comes up, right?
Yes. At least I got all the information from the city. So that it's very interesting. I love the research. I love research stuff. And it's very interesting. So I like it.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
Candy, let me know how it works out. You got any other questions?
No, that's going to be all for today. Thank you so much.
You have a fantastic day. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys too. Okay, bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, let me check the comments here. Awesome, let's see here. I can't move as fast on these. Okay, you guys are just chatting among yourselves. So, Alon, you there?
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
Good, man, how are you?
Going good, man.
Yeah?
What you up to? Not much, man. Just been hitting the ground running, been watching the videos, just been uh, just trying to figure this whole wholesaling thing out.
Okay, what can we help you out with today? What do you want to figure out today?
I just had a quick question. I have a 4.4 acre in my actually my grandparents' neighborhood, but I looked it up on PropStream and they're saying that it's like unstable land. So I guess like the land is like uneven. I don't know if that's going to be a problem.
I'm not a land expert. Yeah. God knows I got my issues with my land deals. You got to reach out to the city or the county and just get clarification, because just find out, you know, can I build on it? Just ask really layman questions and just say, listen, do I have the ability to build on it? What are the limitations, or what do I got to do to get it up to par? And just see what you can do. So, because that's what a cash buyer is going to ask, like, what can I do with this piece of land? And if you don't know the answers, it's impossible to market.
Exactly.
So exactly. I don't know what the definitions of all that means. So you're going to have to find out. What state is that?
It's in Connecticut. So it's difficult. I've been trying to.
I would be very curious to hear about it. So it's.
And the thing
I got to deal with like a lot. So I know waterfront rights. You know, like I'm blown away. So I'm dealing with a marina now.
Yeah.
This is the craziest thing. The federal government, if you have a commercial or even a private, but a commercial, you have to rent the water over the. So if you own the property and then you put a dock behind it, you have to rent per square footage the water rights. If I told you the number, you wouldn't even believe me.
Bro.
So we're looking at a marina right now to build from scratch. You have to pay $150,000 a year to the federal government just to have the dock.
Just to have the dock and
just to have the rights to put the dock over it. I'm just like, has nothing to do with construction. You got to cut that check every year.
That's the government for you though.
Yeah, I knew it was. I was thinking it was like $50,000, but like $150,000. I'm like, I'm adding up all the docks. I'm like, this is insane, man. So I don't know how it works with like lakes and stuff like that. I'm talking particular to like the ocean. It's absolutely insane. And they don't even own the land, but now they're telling me they own the water rights over it. And I'm just like,
no, they're going to try to get every penny out of you. No matter
it's
what.
Crazy. I'm like, and they're like, why do you have $150,000 on the spreadsheet? I go, dude, that's just the initial payment. And then they get 6% of the gross. It's, I was just like, it winds up being millions of dollars. I'm just like, wow, I didn't even know all this. So, but find out what that means on uneven land. A lot of the times in Florida, we get like long, skinny strips. Mm-hmm. And there's certain land codes now that are so modern, you can't even build a shed on them anymore. It's like, and so these lands are like lost forever and everybody wants to try to market them, but there's nothing you can do with them. So find out if it's a problematic piece of land that you can never really profit from. And then just find out what your options. Sometimes people put cattle on them. We have ostrich farms here in Florida now. It's like crazy what people do.
All right.
What else you got?
That was it, right? I actually one more question. Connecticut is a lawyer state, and I've been like in a funk. Like, if I have to like reach out to a lawyer first, so they can represent me, or do I have to just like, would that just be on the end buyer? Like, once I get a deal like locked up.
Yeah. So the best thing to do is find a title company you work with, and they'll walk you through the process, because they're typically owned by attorneys.
All right.
And I don't even know how involved attorneys are when they do that. I'm doing a deal. Actually, I close on it tomorrow. And the seller decided to get, this is a big deal, but the seller decided to get an attorney, and the attorney's charging $5,000 to look over the paperwork. Jeez. That's it. I'm like, you know, you don't need the attorney. You just pay off the liens and the realtor fees, and that's it. I don't know why you need an attorney to tell you the HUD is correct.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if it's like different, because this is a lawyer disclosure state. So we would have to go once again, a lawyer just, instead of
you have a title company that you've reached out to and talked to?
Not yet. No.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. And you got to just figure out what the norm is. And listen, the reality is, just because it says it, you have to have an attorney, like, I don't know how states come up with this crap, because you're really.
Yeah, yeah.
But my odds are, it just like the attorney just signs off on the final paperwork, and they probably line up 10 HUDs and have their staff look everything over. And because most of the title companies in the state of Florida, like a good portion of them are owned or associated with an attorney, because there's a lot of legal issues that come up. So I kind of understand why they do it, but I don't know why they don't do the same thing across the United States. Yeah, it'd make all the lawyers really happy. But I prefer one where you're not required to it, but just work with your title company and they'll tell you what the norm of the process is. Easiest way to do it.
All right, perfect.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick. That's all I have.
Okay,
had.
Bud. Okay, man. I'll see you.
I appreciate later. You.
Okay. Okay, let me take a question here. So let's start with this one. I like this question here. So it says, what do you respond when a seller asks, how many houses have you bought when I'm a beginner? And what's your opinion? We could say, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan. I don't like lying to people. So number one, you can go with the truth first. So if you've bought a house or you've been involved with the house with your parents and you're like, you're super young, just go, you know, I bought one or two. Now, if you haven't, just say, listen, you got to show them your ability to be able to buy a house. How do you do that? You work with other cash partners. You work with other JV partners, like whatever you need, or you qualify yourself, period. If you have good credit and you actually have a decent job, you could actually qualify with the bank. I get it. Most of you don't. I'm just giving you options. If not, find a cash partner that will back you up and not run you under the bus and say, and like help you vet through this. And in the beginning is when I had my son do this when he was 16, we never talked about how many houses he buys. And you'd be surprised is the only time that ever comes up is like when you're young. And as I said, you can either use your youth as an asset or a liability. It is completely your choice. A smart young person will make up for it in enthusiasm and energy. How do I know this? I give young people a shot all the time based on their attitude. If their attitude's incredible, they're extremely helpful, I go, I'll go ahead and give you a shot. And that's all you need to do as a homeowner. I don't want you starting off with a lie. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. So unless you've actually bought a property, go, listen, I'm just getting started out, but here's my credentials to get everything done. Here's the title company I work with. Go call Jan. She'll back me up on it. And here's an attorney I'm associated with if you have that. And start doing it that way. And then maybe find a senior wholesaler in your area that will work up with you. Maybe you can do a JV deal with us. Or if you present a deal with us through sellmypaper.com, I'd be happy to vouch for you. But you actually have to kind of do the work. Don't ever let your age be the separating factor of you doing a deal. If anything, I promise you, your youth is an asset and you have to understand that. So, but so many people go, oh, let's just go ahead and lie. Because one lie leads to another one and you never get out of the lying thing. So just avoid the lie altogether. So is my age going to be a distraction from me actually buying your house and getting you on your way and getting you funded and just using verbiage like that? But, if you start out with a lie, it reverberates and it doesn't stop. And I don't want you to do it for that reason. So good question though. Next one, Patrick asks, Davenport, Florida, I have the code violation water shut off list. Amazing. Great job. Plus I may have a seller who wants to sell. How can I get both the purchase and sale and assignment agreement? So you can go to freewholesaling.com. Both of them are right there. It's a 2-page purchase and sale agreement. And then the assignment's right there. You got to do the purchase and sale agreement first, then the assignment, all in freewholesaling.com. And if you want additional help, check out Flip with Rick Plus. We go into grave detail. We just spend more time with you. And if you do a JV deal with us, it's 100% free, or we have a paid version of it. You can check that out. But I think that's awesome, dude. Getting these lists, that's how you get to your first 100K in wholesaling with your eyes shut. Jason says, what CRM do I use? Use the one that's like works for you. Honestly, I find Podio the simplest one because when you start out wholesaling, you don't have to overcomplicate a CRM. That's something that will come in time. And once you understand how your workflows work, what you want certain people to do in your organization, it makes a tremendous difference when you do that. So don't complicate a CRM in the beginning. Honestly, you can get away with Google Sheets if you want to get real technical. But Podio, you can do a free version or even their advanced version. You can get what they call a real estate, it's called a packet. They don't have a wholesaling one. Don't ask me why. And then you can pick and choose in there. And it's really, really simple. Check out, my son did an entire Podio update. Most people charge $500,000 to set up a Podio. Dude, for 10, 12 bucks a month, you can have whatever you want with Podio. Don't, like, it's not going to make you any more money. So good question. So, okay. Kiefer, what's up?
What's going on?
What you up to today?
Not a lot. Yeah. I just had a couple questions about the JV process.
Okay, let's do it.
So let's say I live in Kentucky. We've been looking into a lot of different markets where we can start virtual wholesaling. Let's say, for example, if I got a house under contract in Florida and I sent it to you guys to sell my paper, about how long do you think it would take for me to get a response on whether you would want a JV on that?
We do it. So the main thing is just make sure we service that market. There's just certain markets that, remember, it takes a lot of time and relationships to get people in each particular market to make sure they're good at what they do and they know what they're doing. And then they have certain requirements, and we're constantly negotiating this stuff. You guys have no idea how much work goes on in the back end on this. So number two, you said you're in Kentucky, right?
Yeah, I'm in Northern Kentucky. Yeah.
Okay. I love Kentucky. I mean, so I have friends that live over there. And I just think you guys got so many more opportunities in Florida. Like, I'm in Florida and we do wholesaling here. It's a lot. I mean, like, I don't complain. I mean, I fight in one of the most saturated markets, but Florida is the population here has exploded. It's gotten like, just the price points are getting ridiculous. I'm just telling you, you should. Is there any reason? Are you considering even doing wholesaling in your backyard, or is it
a population issue? Yeah, we've been driving a lot around Lexington and Louisville. A lot, uh-huh. But I knew we have a lot more people that have said they're buyers in Florida. Like, whenever we've posted into other groups trying to find buyers in certain areas, there was a lot of Florida that came up. And
The only thing I'm going to beg you is, I'm just telling you, we've done some serious research in your market and we got no problems with it.
Right.
Our market coming in as a newbie, it's challenging, especially in virtual wholesaling. And I'm giving you the honest to God truth. Make sure you're not just taking like little feelers here and there, because the price points are getting so high in Florida, it's getting challenging. And I know, for instance, in some of the markets you just mentioned, the price points are much, much different, but Look at the data, make sure. And I know you guys got some like wanky laws they've tried to pass. It's like real basic to get past it. It's not going to stop you from wholesaling. Period. Like, so Kentucky's trying to do one. Like, I did an entire show on this. I don't remember because I go state by state and do this, but it's just a suggestion. It's not really an enforceable like legislative piece that they're putting out there. So I don't think it's even passed or they're getting ready to pass it. If you go to Flip with Rick, you can check it out. Like, just do illegal wholesaling in Kentucky and it should pop up. Have you ever heard of that one?
What is that?
The legislators passed some sort of ridiculous thing where you have to inform someone that you could potentially wholesale the property or the way you're going to market it. And a lot of gurus jumped on and go, okay, you can't wholesale in Kentucky anymore. And we did two deals like right then and there. And I worked with a lawyer. He's like, dude, this law is a joke. And he showed us exactly what you need to do to cover your butt. It was that simple. And I told everyone, I go, dude, if you're in Kentucky, I would run to it right now because everybody's running away from it. So,
yeah, I mean, physically, yeah, we can actually go to the courthouse in Louisville and get the list.
So what I'd like you to do is come on later this week or whatever, and then tell me what the population and the price points are, and I'll help you walk through. And then I will help you validate your argument between Kentucky and Florida. And I'm pretty sure I can put it right in your face and make it very blaring. So many people try to go off of – like, listen, I know you get feedback on forums and websites, but you do got to look at the entire data. I mean, the average price point in Florida is just getting whacked right now. It's like,
it's a little ridiculous.
It's a big number, man.
There's, like you said, it's really saturated. There's a lot of, I don't want to say competition, but everybody getting the same list.
Yeah, everybody is. So you just got to learn how to connect with people and build rapport and help people out. This business really isn't challenging. I haven't met a market that isn't saturated to a point. Because saturation is all your personal reality of what you think it is. Like Florida on paper, you shouldn't even try to do this place because it would discourage, it'd be just like California. But the reality is I've been doing this over 20 years in Florida. Now I have somewhat of an advantage because I got a lot of data and I know how to do this. Like I know the price points really well, but I used to buy houses for 50 grand. Now I'm buying them for 400 grand. And God only knows where we're going. I think we're going to wind up like California. I think everybody from California is running to Florida and it's pissing me off, but it is what it is. I'm getting ready to head to Kentucky to buy a big fat piece of land because it's
Let's go.
On top of us.
Yeah, let's go.
I know, but I'm just telling you, it's like I helped somebody get up and running in Kentucky. I swore secrecy to the market, but having amazing success. It's a couple and they had zero experience. So I want you to look into it because I'm telling you, if I had to guess, I would jump to your market 10 times over a Florida market. Sorry.
Well, I appreciate it.
Look at the price points and look at the populations and just run some basic data like that and tell me what you think. Because when you start looking at houses at 400,000 and 500,000, if you can get stuff at like sub 200, you can see why. Like people like me go, okay, well, I just go to Kentucky because I can get a lot more bang for my buck. And other than some coldness you guys have, it's not a bad place to live.
All right.
So just think about it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that covers it for today.
Okay. I'll talk to you, Kiefer. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Jason, what's going on, man? Jason.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Good, man. How are you? I'm used to seeing your face the first time I don't see it.
Sorry about that.
There it is. What's going on, man?
Oh, my kids and I are having a Mountain Dew challenge right now. So,
well, tell me about this challenge.
So we got it. We got one of every single Mountain Dew that exists, and we all have to take shots of it to see which one we like the best.
How many flavors of Mountain Dew are there now?
There are a lot. We have nine different flavors. So they're all kinds of different flavors and colors, and it's a fun challenge. So
you know, when I used to take my son to the 7-Eleven, you know, the Slurpee machine.
Yes,
he would run it through all four or five machines and like mix up all the colors. I'm like,
yeah,
I go, you got problems, kid, man. But
these solo cups that are like this big, and we're doing just a little spritz of all of them inside the cups and drinking.
Oh my God, dude, how old are your kids?
9 and 10.
You know, you're going to have them wired for the night, so.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
That's awesome, man. I'd love to see this challenge, man.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, man, that's like the adult version of doing Red Bull challenges.
Right.
Why, well, I have Mountain Dew, man. It gets me bouncing off the ground, man. That used to be my go-to drink when I was in college.
Yeah.
Boy. Well,
when I was in high school, I actually drank 3 Monster Energy drinks at one time. It took 3 YJ Stingers and stayed up for like 26 hours and did nothing except fish.
There you go. Well, listen, if it comes to fishing, I'm all in, dude. Like I've done 3-day trips. I did a 3-day fishing trip out to the Tortugas. I didn't sleep for once. I about crashed at the end, but I was like, I used to have a lot of energy when I fish. Now it's like, I need my naps. And
yeah, I'm a big time fisherman.
Yeah. So it's, I right now I fish at night, almost every night I go fishing. So it's been really good, man, but it's just hot as hell in Florida right now. It's too hard during the day.
It's like 108 there. I probably wouldn't be fishing during the day either.
Yeah. It's hot, man. What else going on? Anything I can help you out with, or you need me to jump in on the Mountain Dew challenge here?
I got to figure out how to stop shooting myself in the foot.
Okay.
I go out to a property, meet with the seller, get a property locked up under contract, do the ARV minus repairs times 70%. It's been working pretty well for me. Yeah. I actually locked up today that I feel very confident in. ARV is like 365 to 385. Got it locked up for 140. It's a probate deal. Problem is that it probably needs around $80,000 to $90,000 in repairs, and my buyer, as soon as I locked it up, I called him, didn't give him the address, but I called the title company, put down my earnest money, called my buyer about it. And then I told him the address once my earnest money was down, and he asked how much I wanted for it. And I told him 175. He's like, send me over the deal right now. I'll sign off. And I'm like, man, I should have definitely probably should have raised that price a little bit.
Well, so how much are you making on it?
So it'd be $35,000.
You know what? You can't, like, let me tell you, my first 2 years, I almost felt like I gave away but like nobody ever argued with me. I was like, okay. I'm just like, but the problem is you can do the reverse opposite. You ask too much and then like they just don't look at you as credible. So it's listen, when you get a good property and a good cash buyers list and I only ever got it down to two people. I never did five because it never works. Yeah. But if you get it down to two, I go, listen, I know you offered me 175. I have this other chick. She's a pain in my butt, but she's been bugging me about a property. Just give me your best offer and I'm going to try everything to get it to you. And just, yeah. And then he'll just like, tell me what number you need. I go, no, just give me your best offer. You both offered the same amount. I'm trying to be fair about it and just shut up. It's very uncomfortable. But if you go, the problem, if you say, well, give me 180 and it's yours, like he's not going to be happy with you for a long time. So just try that trick when it gets down to it. You have to have real competition. In some markets, it doesn't work. But listen, you're not going to go broke with a $35,000 profit. So
No, I won't. But I was just like, so I got home, looked up some comps. So I actually called him on my way home from that appointment.
Yeah. Told
him $375,000, got home, looked up some more comps. And realized that this thing's actually worth like $380 ARV. There was one right around the corner that sold for $390, just a little bit bigger of a house, but a smaller lot. So I'm like, it's either going to sell for like $380 or $390. And I was just like, man, I probably, if you take $380, $390 minus $80,000 in repairs times 0.70%, it's like $210,000.
Correct. Well, you got to leave some money on it. Most likely you probably left about 10 grand on the table telling me what you're selling me, but you just listen, you know, you learn from every deal. So how long have you been doing this now, Jason?
Since January.
Yeah. So you're learning, dude, trust me, after a while. So I always look at this. I look at the amount of risk I have on the deal. Is the seller a pain in my butt? And can I get my cash buyers through that? And how long is my inspection period of my close date? And if I can get all three of them, the seller's really easy. I can walk anyone I want through it. And I could probably extend this thing two or three times if I wanted to. I'll actually sit down with a realtor and really find the true value of it. Once I got all that other stuff, if I'm under like stress, I'm going to do exactly what you did. I'm just going to move it. Like that's how you make money. Cause I've been on the other side. I held out too long and I wound up like getting my butt kicked. So it can blow up with you by doing it the other way. So like, don't lose sleep on it and just think about it going forward. The worst thing you do is go back and go, okay, I need you to pay this and that. I've seen every trick. One of the tricks a wholesaler taught me once, I swear to God, I go, man, you are absolutely, I just told me he was a dip for doing it. He would, so what was your deposit on it?
$100.
Yeah, see. So we used to have one with like $3,000 and $5,000 deposits and he would make them pay above and beyond that on his assignment. It was so confusing. Even the title company couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And it just gets absolutely nuts. And then sometimes when you include the closing costs, I would charge a significantly higher premium. Like, so if the seller wanted to pay for the closing cost and they never said a word to me and it was an okay deal, I would just say, listen, I got the seller to pay the closing cost. I figured it's about a $3,500 value. I'm only going to ask for $2,000 more. And I still do that to this day. Like it's, there's about like the cost of closing significant now in Florida. So, but listen, don't complain about a $35,000 profit. Just go find two or three more deals like it and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But like when you get one that's kind of up in the air and you've been doing this long enough now, sometimes you can find a trusted realtor that will give you a real number and go, listen, how long? And then you got to go find realtors that have cash buyers that will pay that. But every time you bring in a new buyer, it's very undetermined if they're actually going to go through with it or not. They're a pain in the ass. So you'll be fine with it, man, dude. Okay, get back to that. I don't want to stall the Mountain Dew challenge, man.
I did want to say, though, thanks to you and Zach, I've been doing it since January now. I've closed three deals. This would be my fourth. I'm working on my fifth and sixth currently that I've got under contract. And I'm actually up to over $100,000 in assignment fees. So,
oh, man.
Thanks to you
guys. So, dude, number one, it's not a requirement, but consider joining us with Flip with Rick Plus, because I have some stuff that I can catapult your business like through the roof. And I'm not looking to take money out of your pocket. I'm looking to share money with you. Yep. Number two, I would love, where are you located exactly?
It's Ohio. So I was trying to actually JV with you guys, but I got on sellmypaper.com and saw you guys actually don't do Ohio right now, which is kind of weird because you always talk about Dayton. So I figured if I went over to Dayton.
We're working through some issues on Ohio. The problem is I don't want to put people in markets that suck at it. So like, I'm honestly, when I don't put them on there, it means we're still trying to. There's a lot of energy and time and money goes into like getting these people, and it takes time. And the idea is we want to work with people just like you to have you help us grow our network. Cause we get a lot of like new people that need help. And then like, once you earn your first $100,000, I go, hey, Jason, you want to help us out. You want to do stuff like that. So consider the Flip with Rick Plus, because we're doing some really amazing stuff in there. And number two, I would love to see, we're having an event in October.
Yeah. I
would love to see you too. And you are the exact type of guy that we want there, because you put the trust in us. You gave it a shot, and but you understand what it takes. Like, we didn't do anything for you. We just gave you some guidance and some encouragement. You had to take the action and the steps going forward. And then once we get to know people, then we can really establish the market and we can really run with it. And I've got six or seven guys I've worked with, just like you, over time, same story. I've convinced the most of them to go on the Flip with Rick Plus. And now I got one guy I'm doing three deals a month with, like clockwork. Like, he just needed help with some funding. And every now and then he needs help with some creative financing. And I just go, hey, do this, do that. And he's like, I never knew I could do 9-10 deals a month. I'm like, it's not that hard. I go, how much you want to drive yourself crazy? I'll fill you up. And That's what we do. So just consider it and let's talk with it further. And I think it's amazing what you're doing, but I got to find a way to get you down in Florida in October. I think you'd get a lot of value from it. I'm not looking to pitch you or do anything like that, but if you think I've taught you a lot now, you haven't even seen you're just barely seeing the top of the iceberg. I promise you.
Maybe we can go fishing while I'm down there.
Dude, that's what I do, man. Like, I always have to beg everybody to go fishing. I even Zach, he's like, I'm going all day Thursday. We go out and catch like really large snapper. We get some big dolphin, and we do like some daytime sword fishing this time of day, but it's not for the faint of heart for people. It's like flat calm. It's flat, which is great, but man, it's hot, dude. When I say hot, it is a new level. It's like stick your head in the oven. You got to keep the boat moving. So we go through 500-600 gallons of gas when we go. I'm extreme, man. I love doing that stuff. So
have you seen those Goliath grouper, I guess you could just say battles with the,
They're a nightmare, dude. They're real problematic for us.
Is that what it was called?
Dude, they're out at my dock behind my house right now. You got to beat them away with a stick.
They're
terrible. You want to catch one? Come down here. I'll give you a rope.
Did you watch that? It's called World's Strongest Man versus World's Strongest Fish.
Listen, when we go out here on the ocean, just right off the beach, like 30 of them come up behind the boat. They look like the size of a Volkswagen.
That's insane.
They're like pets. They're disgusting. The problem is they're human garbage cans. They eat everything.
Yeah.
So, and they're behind my dock. So it's like, you can't get away from them because they're protected by the federal government. And they're great eating fish. It's ridiculous. So it's from like 1985 to really like 19, really from 1980 to 1995, you couldn't find one. Now we can't, like, they're so protected. They're ridiculous. And the damn things grow to be 700 to 800 pounds.
Wow.
So they're like human. So they try to eat divers now. It's becoming a real problem down here. So anyways, I could talk fishing all day, man.
I did say before I went, last Friday I closed my third deal for $20,000. So this Friday I'll close this one for $35,000, and it's all thanks to you. So you and both. Thank you guys for everything that you do.
Okay, Jason, get with us on the Flip with Rick Plus. I think we have some incredible opportunities in for you that would like pay you immediately. Okay. Because we get a lot of deals submitted through Ohio and we can't handle everything.
Got it.
And someone like you would be imperatively important. Plus, I want to see you in October and we'll figure out the fishing part.
Well, sounds good, Rick.
Thank you. Go enjoy the kids, man. Have a good time.
Great evening.
Okay, see you later. You get me talking about fishing and real estate, this can get really problematic quick. So, guys, I mean, Jason started with us. He says in January, and I always see his name, so I recognize him. And he just took the information and he just took the action. And here's what I'm telling you is I'm not giving you fluff BS stuff. I'm giving you real stuff that works in this business. And if you apply it, you work through it. Some people get it quick. Some people take a lot longer. It doesn't matter. You just have to get going forward. Now, I will tell you, I'm not saying Jason's the exception, but if I get 100 people that come and take the course, about 90 of them just won't do anything. And I can't make you people do stuff. The problem is the gurus know this, and so if they charge $5,000 for 100 people, what is that? $5,000 times what, 50,000? Only a select few are going to take action. And they know that. That's why they are flipping so many students. And that's why I do it the reverse way. So I can talk about it all day long. What's up, Rob? What's going on, man?
Hey.
You've been very patient sitting on the couch there. I didn't want to leave you hanging. What can I help you out with?
Yeah. So I've been doing this since November. I only learned of you maybe a few months ago. Crazy.
That's good.
So I've gone through all your courses. I've gone through your how to scale because I'm kind of approaching that point. I've got 6 deals under contract this month,
man.
And I don't just do wholesaling. So I've got lenders and partners and whatnot. So I've got some buy and holds and some seller financing deals.
Awesome.
I've gone through some pretty great training. But after listening to your land flipping, I'm like, why not add a new stream, right? Get a few more deals a month coming in.
Yeah.
So I did everything you said. I researched the market, the demand, all of that.
Uh-huh.
And then I started plugging in zip codes into PropStream. Out pops a couple of hundred for this zip code, another couple of hundred here. And I'm finding that lots of them are 0 Main Street, comma city, comma state, comma zip. And I'm like, and there's an APN number.
Okay.
I'm like, so these are lots that maybe a developer, I don't know why it has 0 for the street number, but tons have 0 for the street number. And I don't know how to skip trace these numbers. And there's too many to ignore.
Well, have you looked it up to see if it's like county owned property?
No, that's a good idea.
So, unfortunately, a lot of vacant land that goes to like a tax deed sale, depending on what area in the country and the state. In my opinion, when the county takes it over, it means nobody wanted it, which means it's not a buildable lot. Or there's something drastically wrong with the specs, like it's too narrow, or it has an elevation major issue, and that could be it. Listen, land's not perfect. You have to pull like some of the data and like figure it out. But I will tell you this, be very careful. If it's county land, don't ever even try to buy it. There's a reason the county owns it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like I found that out the hard way. So I bought a few of them and like I never made a dime off of them. Like I broke even and they are perpetual. They can't undo them. You can't get rid of the land and they just use it as like a buffer. The county's like, if you're dumb enough to pay the property taxes on it, we'll sell it to you. So look it up. One of the easiest way is really just take one of those pieces of land and call the property appraisers and just say, hey, can you walk me through this? Why does it say this? Or take that information you got from PropStream or Batch and then put it in that county property appraiser site and see if you can get more detail on it. See if it could be possibly that they're just that the data servers are just pulling the information wrong. I doubt it. Right. And then just call somebody at the county's office and you only got to ask the question once and you go, okay, I'm going to avoid these. And then you can find a way to put in a filter for land so they don't pop up anymore. I had this exact same problem on my tax delinquencies. The amount of county-owned vacant land was unbelievable. I think it was like 4,000 lots.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, they all look the same. What the hell's? And so I went down to the county and I asked them. They go, yeah, those are lots nobody wants. We couldn't give them away if we wanted to.
That's great feedback because I was worried about skip tracing and, you know,
hundreds
of leads. I'm like,
yeah. So it could be the federal, maybe the federal government, maybe a company, but either way, you're probably not going to be able to negotiate very much with them. You got to find individual owners of the land. Like, you're never going to do with a major corporation owns land. They have a plan with it and you're not involved in it.
Yeah. The only reason I wanted to ask you about it is because I thought, well, maybe these are developers. And that was like the last lot they couldn't sell. And it never got assigned a number. I'm too new to understand how numbers
get assigned. It could be, but it should have a clear identification of who the owner is. That developers aren't hidden from the record in any capacity. Yeah. Only like law enforcement or special federal government agencies. So just take that APN number and just for that county, just call them once and walk you through it. And it should be good. You'll get a good education on it.
Yeah.
Land's kind of weird sometimes because they don't go through nearly the protocols that regular single family and multifamily houses go through. So, and some of those lands are hundreds of years old, depending on what state you're in. So, but there's usually a reason why it's reading like that. I'm assuming it's like a county or a federal owned piece of land and just kind of find out.
Gotcha. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, man. I'll talk to you, bud. See you. Okay, guys. Let me jump over to the questions. Awesome. So do me a favor, guys. If you're watching this, go over to freewholesaling.com. It's right here. This is the course. I've taught hundreds of thousands of people how to do wholesaling. It's up to you if you're going to take the action to it. And as usual, if you got value from this live stream, do me a favor. Make sure you smash that like button. And please make sure you subscribe to this channel. It helps others just like you find channels like this so they don't get lost in the sea of wholesaling gurus that constantly try to sell them how they're going to give them the secrets to wholesaling. And eventually you're going to have to come back here to freewholesaling.com with me and Zach, and we'll show you how to get it done. Those of you who want to spend additional time with us, check us out on Flip with Rick Plus, or go over to freewholesaling.com. And that's it, guys. I will be on tomorrow. Me and Zach are going to be live, I believe at 1 p.m. Eastern. Don't hold me to it, but we should be on there. We've got a really cool topic, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. See you guys later.